Please stand by. Welcome, and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Performance Automation Best Practices Using Policies in the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, we'll discuss the integrated automation capabilities provided with OmegaMon DE and the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. The speaker for today's teleconference is Ed Woods, IBM Consulting IT Specialist. At this time, I'd like to turn the program over to Mr. Ed Woods. Please go ahead, Ed.
Thank you very much. My name is Ed Woods, Consulting IT Specialist with IBM. And first, I want to thank everyone for taking the time to attend today's webcast. This is a topic that I've been pondering doing for quite some time. It's in a way, I view it as an extension of some of the presentations I'd done the year prior, talking about situations and using situations and things like that with OmegaMon XD for DB2, IMS, etc. A policy is a very powerful capability of the Tivoli Enterprise Portal that it provides, in a way, the ability to do some, you know, very interesting automation extensions, command capabilities, and things like that, over and above what you can do with just the base portal and situations. So I view it as something that it's an excellent extension that you can take advantage of. We'll talk about what the pros and cons of using policies are, some of the limitations of policies, things to be aware of, what to understand, etc. But, you know, it's something that in certain ways may not be getting as much utilization as it might be in certain cases. So we'll go to the slide that says agenda. And what we're going to talk about is just briefly the Tivoli portal and the notion of the integrated performance availability and automation functions that come within the portal. We'll talk a little bit about situations and policies, compare and contrast the capabilities. I'll do a quick review of situations, just because the situation is still the building block of the whole process, and as a result, you need to understand situations well in order to be able to do things like policies. Situations are always the starting point for this. Then we'll talk about policies, the definition and deployment of policies, how you build them, how you create them, you know, various ways to build them, various. I'll go through two or three common scenarios just to give you guys an idea of what the capabilities are. Then we'll go through some usage recommendations, best practices, suggestions, and things like that. And then we'll finish up with just a summary and then any questions you may have. So going to the next slide, it says Tivoli Enterprise Portal, Integrated Performance Availability and Systems Management. So the Tivoli Enterprise Portal is more than just a GUI front end, if you will, for the OmegaMon or the ITM monitoring suite. In a way, it truly is an integrated performance and availability management paradigm, in that it ties together a whole variety of Tivoli solutions, a whole variety of Tivoli monitoring, as well as other solutions. It provides a common user interface for these Tivoli solutions, and it also includes integrated command, control, and automation capabilities. The ability to have integrated command, reflex, automation, corrective action capabilities, etc. The Tivoli Enterprise Portal is truly an integrated solution. So going to the next slide that says Tivoli Enterprise Portal, Integrated Performance and Availability Automation. So the command capability takes several forms in the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, or the TEP as we like to call it. So first of all, the TEP provides manual command and control capabilities, the ever-popular take action capability, wherein you can do a right-click and select a command from a predefined set of options and then say where you want to issue that command to. These commands may be set up in advance, or you can do them on the fly as needed. But in addition, the TEP also provides enablement for automated commands and corrections. The advantage is then that you can do corrections at machine speed and have the machine actually issue the alert and then, in turn, drive a corrective action. The Tivoli Portal, because it has an integrated command and control capability, a command correction capability, therefore means that you can issue commands, may not be the ultimate correction, but might be that tweak you need to get applied to the system to keep the workload running, and then therefore alerting someone that they need to take a look at the problem. Now, in terms of the automated command and correction capabilities that come with the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, you're primarily looking at two options. One is what's called situations, which include a reflex command capability for those simple fire and forget type scenarios. And then the other is called policies, which is what's going to be our topic primarily today. Policies is something you would use for more sophisticated performance automation scenarios, in that it gives you the ability to do multiple commands, do multiple checks, etc. Now, one important note about policies is that the policy capability is, in essence, an enablement function of a mechanism we called a Megamon DE or a Megamon Dashboard Edition. Now, if you're a distributed ITM customer, ITM 6.1 customer, you will typically have this Dashboard Edition mechanism enabled. If you're in a Megamon XE ZOS or Megamon XE IMS or DB2 or CICS customer, then it becomes an optional item. You may or may not have that function enabled. So if you're unclear as to the licensing, then that's something you would want to check on with your Megamon administrator. But it's important to point out that that does need to be enabled in order to be sure that you have this policy mechanism. Otherwise, you'll just see the icon for the policy editor grayed out on your toolbar on the top of the Tivoli portal. So going to the next slide that says Tivoli Enterprise Portal, Integrated Command and Automation Options. So, as I said before, the TEP provides multiple command options. You can have your manual take actions, your situations, your policies. The take action is the manual command override capability. The situations, the second of these two options, is the basic building block. As I said before, the situation is the starting point, in essence, for this. Whether you're going to use situations or policies, you still need to start with the situation, because you use a situation mechanism to drive the policy mechanism. So initially, anytime I'm dealing with a new customer that's deploying the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, we always want to make sure that they have a thorough understanding of what situations are, how situations get used, the capabilities of situations, how you code them, create them, deploy them, distribute them, set them up, optimize them, tweak them, etc. Ultimately, you're going to use a lot of situations as your essential starting point building blocks, and use these to drive your base alerts and notifications. So you can do a lot just with the situation mechanism itself to set alerts and notifications and to do reflex action commands, etc. The difference is now going to the next step, which is policies. Policies, again, allow for the multi-step options, multiple steps, commands, checks, etc. So that might be a scenario where you might have multiple situations that you want to check, and then in turn drive multiple commands off of those. So what a policy does is it provides a way to tie some of these things together, and then also in turn give you some additional flexibility and command and power that you might not have just with the situation by itself. So going to the next slide that says about situations and policies. So situations are the basic building blocks. That's where you begin. You use your situations to highlight things such as your performance and availability issues, monitoring key metrics in the operating system, key metrics in your databases, your transactional subsystems, monitoring for the availability of mission-critical resources, whatever the resource is in question that you're monitoring using your Megamon or your ITM monitoring solution, you're going to use a situation to detect that issue. Situations, when they're deployed, are typically sent out to the agent in question. So if we're talking a Megamon XE for DB2 or IMS or CICS, you define the situation in the portal, and then that situation is then, as part of the definition process, distributed out to the various agents where it's going to execute and do its thing. So typically, situations run at the level of the agent, or what we call the TEMA. Policies basically extend the concept established with situations and add some additional flexibility. The difference is, though, is that policies run within the TEMS infrastructure, the Tivoli Enterprise Monitoring Server structure. So situations commonly run in the agent. Policies typically will run within the TEMS. That's an important distinction to understand when we talk about the pros and cons of policies later on. So going to the next slide that says, understanding the capabilities of situations, powerful, flexible alerts and automation. So this is part of just our general situation review, if you will. Megamon XE situation capabilities allow for very flexible alerts. You have the ability to use Boolean logic. You have the ability to correlate with other situations. Situations can drive automated corrections. situations, you can take multiple attributes or columns of information and use the using the Boolean logic capabilities, make these be very intelligent, very powerful alerting capabilities, and then combine with the automated corrective action capabilities that come with the situation editor, you have a very powerful, flexible, automated corrective action function. So going to the next slide, it says situation is the starting point. A situation is the basic building block for the alert mechanism in the Tivoli portal. So let's see, in this example here, we're looking at the base enterprise view, if you will, of the Tivoli Enterprise portal. We see in the left corner a variety of managed systems. I've opened up the portion of the navigator tree for DB2. We see some red icons that have highlighted certain managed systems for one of the DB2 subsystems, and then we see that there's a red light on detailed threat exceptions. If you put your cursor on that, you'll see that there is a situation that is in effect or is true at the moment called EW Threat Alert. To see more detail on that particular situation, you would just click on the link symbol to the left of the situation alert name, and that would give you a drill down for detail. So going to the next slide that says situations, a basic example, this is the part of the situation editor. So again, I'm just reviewing this quickly just so that everyone is on the same level set. As I said before, situations are the basic building block because you have to know situations before you get the policies. So here we're looking at the situation editor, and there's several tabs in the situation editor. The formula tab, which is what we're looking at here, this is where we specify in the middle our various attributes. Now this is just a simple example here because we're just looking at an example of a get page count. So in this case we're just saying any threads that exceed a certain number of get pages will generate an alert for. But if you want to add additional logic to this alert, again using the Boolean logic capability of situations, you could click on the add condition button and add additional logic to this. So add additional attributes of information, additional columns that could include things like adding plan name, package name, auth ID, thread elapsed time, whatever it may be, whatever makes sense. You can specify the severity down in the corner. You can specify the sampling interval, which is how frequently you check. If you look in the left portion of the screen in the corner, that's where you can say stop, start the situation, delete the situation. Associate and dissociate basically controls where it shows up on the portal navigation tree. The other tabs in the top, distribution, expert advice, and action. Distribution is basically where you would specify where the alert, where the situation runs. Now, again, as part of our review, situations typically will run at the level of the agent, or the TEMA, as we call it, whereas, you know, as opposed to policies, as I point out, which will run in the TEMS infrastructure. Expert advice, that's something that then when somebody clicks on the situation, they can see what they should be doing to correct it. And then action. If you click on the action tab, that is where you specify what the situation will do if you want the situation to actually go ahead and do an automated correction to the problem. So if we go to the next slide where it says situations, action to perform commands and corrections. So what we're looking at here is the action tab for the situation in question. And in the system command line, this is where we're, in this case, we're just going to log a message to the console that basically says we're going to have a DB2 threat alert message. And then we're also, when we click the attribute substitution button, you can pass attributes of information. So in this case, it looks like we're passing plan name and some other information, probably auth ID, et cetera, as part of the message that will end up out on the ZOS console. You can specify whether you want to issue the action at the level of the agent or at the level of the TEMS. And this is, you know, really in the case of this here, since this is DB2 running on ZOS, this command is going to take the form of a ZOS console command in essence, which is the log command in this case here. So any kind of a valid system command can be executed when this situation is true. So this could include DB2 thread kill commands, automating the process of killing threads as an example, or issuing any kind of a valid ZOS console command, just putting messages on the ZOS console. It's also a good mechanism to drive other forms of automation. For example, if you want to have a way to feed performance automation or performance monitoring data into your ZOS console automation suite. Say, for example, you have SA for ZOS. You could build situations that monitor for certain key items when they're detected. You could have that key information from the monitor dropped onto the console in the form of message strings, similar to what we're doing here, and then SA for ZOS will pick up those message strings and then forward that into SA and then do other automated corrections from there. So going to the next slide that says situations, general recommendations, rules of thumb. In general, make situations you want them meaningful, actionable, useful. Meaningful in the sense that you want the name to be meaningful. You want the names to have some kind of a naming convention, the names to be understandable, so that it's easy to determine, well, which situations were created by you, the user, and which situations were provided by IBM out of the box. Makes it easier for people to understand what they're looking at. The situations should be actionable. Now, what that means then is that if there's an alert, well, that means that there should be something that happens as a consequence of that. That alert could be simply just a notification. That alert could be a corrective action, a message, whatever it might be. And then, of course, useful. Well, it's always, of course, good that if you're going to go to the trouble of building an alert to have it be useful. But it is an important point. You want to eliminate phony alerts. You want to eliminate noise. And this kind of plays into the notion of where policies can help as well, is this whole notion of tuning out the noise. This is a big thing that can be a challenge in large, sophisticated environments where you have many managed systems, many subsystems, many LPARs, many DB2s, maybe many distributed boxes, DB2s running Linux, Unix, Windows, whatever your environment may be. You might have a lot of systems that you're monitoring and managing. And as you deploy the monitoring infrastructure, you can get a lot of alerts. While they might be of informational value, they aren't necessarily things that need to be acted on. So they may not be things that require an actionable kind of a status. It's more just background noise. So for the situation mechanism to work well, you want to tune out the noise so that it also makes it easier when there truly is a real problem, it's easier to find the real problems. Now, one area where policies can help working in conjunction with situations is going through this whole premise of tuning out the noise. And we'll talk about that, those scenarios when we get further into policies. So that's the situation intro and just the general introduction. And again, the reason I went through some stuff you've probably seen before, some of you may have, with situations is that situations are the essential building block to launch you into policies. You need to know what situations are to get to that next step, which is policies. So let's go to the next slide, which says policies expand the concept of integrated performance automation. So what we're looking at here is a portion of the policy editor. And if you look in the central part of the screen, you see a red box that says check if thread creation in DB2 is bottlenecked. So there's a situation icon there that says wait until EW demo thread queuing is true. So basically what I've done here is I've created a situation that's looking at thread creation queuing up in a DB2 subsystem. So if that situation is true, we'll then in turn check to see if it's impacting CICS response time. If that isn't then true, then we'll issue a set sysparm command, basically just go ahead and maybe make some kind of a subsystem tweak, if you will, and then issue another action that basically would be the form of a notification to let somebody know in the form of an email message or some other thing over and above what we've already done that something has been altered on the system. So the first situation, the thread creation queuing, is the main driver. That's what launches off the policy, if you will. Until that thing is true, nothing else is going to happen in this scenario. So we'll start with that one, then we go to the next situation. If both of those are true, then we go ahead and then we go to the following two commands. Once that's done, you loop back around and off you go again. So as I was pointing out before, the situation is the essential driver. If you don't understand how to create situations, you're not going to get anywhere with policies because the logic of the sit drives the logic of the policy. So this is a nice little example here in that this is a way, as an example, where we can look at a couple of different things coming from Kix as well as DB2 monitoring and then in turn also issue multiple commands. all using one policy mechanism. So going to the slide that says policies and performance automation. So policies allow for more sophisticated performance automation scenarios, multiple checks of situations, multiple commands. Again, the situation paradigm works well because it's fairly simplistic and clean in that you do your check. If it's true, you issue your command. Where policies take you to the next step is it gives you the ability to do multiple situation checks, multiple commands, etc. So just like with the situation reflex automation, policies also then allow you to implement those machine speed corrective actions and notifications and things like that. And so it takes the paradigm of what we looked at with the situation then takes it to another level. So your potential uses for policies would include what I call basic alert correlation. I call basic alert correlation that basically, if you recall the prior example on the prior slide, what we were looking at was we were looking at an alert from DB2 and we were looking at an alert from CICS. Now I just refer to it as basic alert correlation because basically all we're really doing here is just checking to see if those situations are true. Now they could be true, but they could be true for a variety of reasons. It's not necessarily that the kick situation is a subset or a filter or some other kind of a, there's no kind of a shared variable that's being passed from one to the other. Basically, we're just checking to see if the DB2 scenario is true, and then if the kick scenario is true. And then if both of those are true, off we go from there. So it's a form of correlation that I just refer to as basic correlation. If that's true, then you can then in turn forward alerts to other alert managers. This is a common use of the policy mechanism, forwarding alerts to other places, to SNMP managers, to the tech, to things like that. You can use policies as a mechanism to feed other automation technologies such as, SA for ZOS, AF operator, whatever else you might have. And it's also a good way for doing dynamic management of the monitoring infrastructure itself. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, that could be the management of situations themselves. If you remember two slides before where I was talking about this thing of eliminating the noise, that's an essential part of this, is that why have a lot of situations running, generating alerts, if I don't need to have them running at that given point in time? Let's say, for example, CICS is always down on a given system or set of LPARs at a given time of day or day of week, just as a normal business practice. Therefore, why generate alerts or take the overhead of monitoring that if I know it's not going to be there? Therefore, use the monitoring tool to optimize the monitoring itself. This provides several benefits. One is, from a usability standpoint, it eliminates the noise and tunes out the background chatter, if you will. And then secondly, it also makes the monitoring more efficient in that you're not running all these situations and driving the monitoring tools themselves, checking for things that don't need to be checked. So let's go to the next slide that says, Tilly Enterprise Portal Policy Support, Requirements and Prereqs. So here's a portion of the Tilly Enterprise Portal screen. And so if you look at where I have circled the little flowchart symbol, that's the policy editor. If that thing is enabled, it should appear as it is there. If the Tivoli Portal policy support is not enabled, then that icon will appear to be like grayed out and you won't be able to click on it. So just to reiterate what I was saying earlier, if you're an ITM 6.1 distributed customer, for example, you should have the Omegamon DE enablement included as part of your monitoring infrastructure. Therefore, you should have policy support. If you're an Omegamon XE customer running ZOS monitoring, so in other words, you're running Omegamon XE for ZOS, Omegamon XE for DB2, KIX, IMS, etc., mainframe networks, then the DE function is a separately licensable capability, so you may or may not have that icon there. Or if it will be just grayed out. The icon would be there, but it would be grayed out. You wouldn't be able to click on it. So if you want to know if you have policy support, that's the quickest way. Just fire up your portal and see if you can click on that icon. So go to the next slide, the Launch the Policy Editor. If you click on the icon, you'll then see things like retrieving workflow definitions. They'll go through a couple through these message screens. And then you'll get into the actual policy editor itself, which is I show in the lower portion of the screen. Some of the icons that are worth noting on here, you see the icons in the upper left corner that say, look like a green and a red stop sign thing. That's basically to stop and start the policy. In the policy name field, click in there. You want to give the policy a meaningful name. So just like with situations, I recommend you have some type of a naming convention so that you know quickly who created the policies, that these are policies that are created by you as opposed to policies that may have been provided by IBM. There's a button for distribution. So just like you distribute situations, you distribute policies as well. We'll talk about policy distribution later on. So you can auto-start policies just like situations. Correlate by host name or application. I'll talk more about this later on. This does have some significance. This goes into this this basic correlation thing that I was talking about before, because you can have policies that might be checking things on different LPARs, different platforms, different operating systems, whatever is part of this multi-situation check. There's a restart box that basically says, do I want to restart the policy after it executes? There's also a limit restart option to the immediate left of that. That limit restart basically would limit the restart to 5 times in a 24-hour period. If you look down lower on the screen, you'll see to the left portion the actual policy editor itself. And then the first icon you typically would do is you would click on the one that says, wait until a situation is true, drag it over, and then drop it on the policy editor, and that's how you launch the process from there. So this is the basic launching of the policy editor. Let's go to the next slide that says policy editor, actions and options. So in this example here, we see we have all the different commands or things that you can click and drag and pull out of those options tabs on the left. So things you'll typically use, well, you have to start with wait until a situation is true. So that's always the one you grab first. You can also evaluate a situation now. The take action or write message, that's one that I use quite commonly. You can suspend for a period of time. Other ones that can be quite useful, start and stop a policy, start and stop a situation. This goes into the thing I mentioned earlier on about using the policy mechanism as a way to manage the infrastructure, going towards reducing, A, the chatter, eliminating the noise, and then, B, reducing the total cost of monitoring. That's one area where I think policies can be quite useful. Another area where policies get used quite commonly in many shops is the stuff that's in the upper right corner where it says tech event, ITO event, SNMP event, etc. In a lot of places, policies are used as a way to feed other alert management or monitoring technologies. So what will happen then is places will commonly, if they want to forward a situation alert to an SNMP manager, create a trap, something like that, basically then what they'll do is they'll just create a policy where you start with that situation and then say SNMP event and then off you go from there. And then also there's a wait until false logic that we see in the green area. Basically what that does then is that provides in essence a switch wherein I'm not going to loop back around and do the restart until the situation has gone from true to false and I can loop back around. So let's go to the next slide that says basic policy. Let's go through our example scenario. So what we're looking at here is I have a very basic policy, and so I've clicked and dragged the wait until situation is true icon over. And what I get then was when I click and drag and drop it on the policy editor, I get a pop-up that lets me select the situation that I want to drop in there. So I selected the DB2 demo alert. If that is true, I'll issue two commands. The first one will be just a simple log action command, and then the next one is I'll just do another simple log action command. The idea is I just want to show, in this case, one of the main differences between policies versus situations. Now, I could have used a simple situation if all I wanted to do was issue one command. I wouldn't need a policy if I'm only doing one command. Again, where policies differentiate relative to situations is those scenarios where I need to do multiple actions. So let's say, for example, where would I want to do that? I want to be able to do a corrective action and then issue another command that basically is like the notification to notify people that the action was taken. That notification could take the form of an email or some other kind of thing like that. So we check the situation. If it's true, we'll issue the first command, we'll issue the second command, and then I show how basically it'll just loop around, we'll do the restart, and then off we go again from there. Let's go to the next slide that says take action options within a policy. So just like you have the action command capability in a situation, similar concept in a policy, it's similar. You see your system command, you click on the attribute button to put attribute information, and so like on this one, I'm basically going to issue a log command, and then I'm going to throw in some info on the plan name as well as part of this. So that's part of the attribute substitution. If you scan down, there's some options that say, where should the action be taken? I can issue the actions at the agents. I can also issue the action at the TEMS. So this is where you get into some of the subtleties of policies versus situations, because you know the situation action is going to be typically issued at the level of the agent. That's part of the deal, how it commonly works. Now, with a policy, you know, you might, since you might have multiple situations, you might have complex scenarios where you might have a hub TEMS, remote TEMS, et cetera. You will want to be cognizant of, well, which agent? Where is the agent? Which TEMS? Where is the TEMS? So you may need a little bit better understanding of the infrastructure. The important thing to note, then, is that the action that I issue is going to be reflective of course, where it's running. So I could have remote TEMS running on Z. I could have remote TEMS running on Windows boxes. I could have a hub running on Windows. So depending on, you know, where the thing is running, that obviously will drive the kind of command I may be issuing. So going to the next slide, distribution controls. That controls where the policy in essence is executed and how the situations are evaluated. So basically then what happens, like in this example, is I'm just going to send this particular policy out to a managed system called DSNC, MVSA DB2. So that's a DB2 running on a system called MVSA. So when I click on the distributed little checkbox is when I get this pop-up and when I can specify my distribution. Now, when I go up to the upper left corner and I click on the start icon, that's where I get a pop-up where it'll say, well, what TEMS do you want this to run in? So again, one of the key things to understand is that policies run in a TEMS, whereas situations typically will run in the TEM or the agent. So that is a key differentiator. And that's something to be cognizant of on several levels, you know, one from an overhead standpoint and then two just from understanding the topography and what these things are likely to do standpoint. Going to the next slide, so to see the status of policy distribution. So now what I've done is I've gone to my enterprise view and I've opened up my DB2 portion of the navigation tree and I do a right click on DSNC where I just sent that policy off to and I selected manage policies and now I see the policy that I have enabled in there and that is distributed, that the restart option is set, etc. So this is a way to see what policies are where, that it has in fact gotten distributed out, and it should be able to do its thing. So let's go to the next slide. Let's see what happens. So looking at the next slide, this is the slide I'm looking at that says policy command execution. So we see the policy in the upper left corner. So we're going to wait until our demo alert is true, and then we're going to issue one log command followed by a second log command. And if we look at the 3270 console output closely, we see our first command. This is a test message, DB2 message, ADH plan 3. So we're actually passing some attribute information in the form of the plan name as well as just the message text. And then we see our second message that I've very creatively called. This is our second message. And then what happens is the policy will restart, and then we'll wait a minute or whatever, and then then we'll see the first command and the second command again. So this basically executes, loops around, and then does this thing again. Now, one thing to be aware of is that the duration of the sampling interval on the situation in turn then drives the loop, the frequency of the loop, if you will, in this particular scenario. Now, this situation in question here, this demo DB2 alert, I had purposefully coded on a one-minute interval just so I could see something fire fairly quickly. So literally what happened in this example, I cut off the timestamps just so I could fit everything on the screen here, but basically you know, we're doing our first or second command, our restart, we're waiting for a minute, and then we do the commands again, then what would have happened is we just keep restarting and doing it and restarting and doing it. So in this case, then I just let this run for a while, and then I just stopped this particular policy just to demonstrate the simple flow of a very basic policy. So again, what separates this from what you could do with the situation, in this case, I've issued two discrete commands to the console, whereas with the situation, I can really only do one. Going to the next slide, wait until false logic. This expands the flexibility of policies because what I could do is, like with that DB2 demo alert, I could say, rather than have the thing just keep kind of endlessly looping around, well, I want it to execute, but then I'm going to let it sit and wait until the DB2 demo alert goes to false. So in other words, I actually get one sampling check where it's no longer true, and then it will restart and loop around. So this provides a switch mechanism or a way to control the flow so that you're not just endlessly looping around with no way to stop it. You want to actually have a change of state before this thing goes out and re-executes. So to exploit this support, this is something that's been available on the distributed monitoring site for a while. And support was also added with the Omegamon XE4.1 releases running on ZOS. So if you're in a Omegamon XE for ZOS, say, for example, 3.1 customer, you won't see this. But if you're in a Omegamon XE for 4.1 customer, you will be able to take advantage of this. So let's go to slide 23, the policy examples. Here we see multiple situations, multiple commands. So this is our second scenario, typical scenario, if you will, here. This is an example of what I call basic correlation. So in this case, I'm checking for a DB2 alert, and then I'm going to issue a command. And then I'm going to check for an MQ alert, in this case the channel stopped, and then issue a command. Now I'm going to correlate by host name. Now what that implies then is that both the MQ as well as the DB2 are running on the same host. Host, in other words, in the case of ZOS, would imply then the same LPAR. So you could correlate by host name or host address. Host address would, of course, be, for example, IP address or something like that. This is an example of what I would term basic correlation. The thing that I put in the note is, keep in mind, these are independent events. The DB2 alert is coming from a DB2 monitor. The MQ alert is coming from an MQ monitoring agent. Both of these things have to be true for the whole flow to happen, for all the commands to function. But in the case here, we have a DB2 demo alert and then a channel being stopped being true. Well, the channel could be stopped as a result of the DB2. The channel could be stopped as a result of something unrelated. It could just be pure coincidence. So that's why I term this as basic correlation. So in this case, we'll do two checks. We'll do two commands. If we go to the next slide that says distribution of the policy. So here in this case, we're looking at distributing it to the DB2 as well as to a couple of the MQ subsystems. So this scenario works because we said correlate by the host name, and the host name in this case is the LPAR, if you will, of MVSA. And if you look closely at the managed system names in these, the DSNC, MVSA, WMQA, MVSA. So MVSA is part of the managed system name, so we know this is coming from the same host in this particular example here. So let's go to another example, a little more complicated. Not massively complicated, but comparable in the sense that what we're doing now is we're going to do a DB2 check just like before. We're going to issue our command, and then we're going to issue another check, but now we're going to check on a Windows alert. So here we're looking at a log space low. Is that true? Coming from our Windows monitoring capability. And then if that's true, issue another command. Now, if you look closely at the correlate by option, now we've selected correlate by logical application group. Now, why that's the case is because a Windows box is a totally different system, managed system, operating system, whatever, could be connected to a totally different part of the infrastructure, if you will, than the ZOS LPAR. So a little bit different setup. If we go to the next slide, you'll see an important subtlety there as well. When you correlate by the logical application group, that distribution doesn't go to managed systems. You have to create a managed system list in order to distribute this out. Now, what is a managed system list? You see, you have a pop-up there where you can edit and create them as well. A managed system list is basically a predefined list of subsystems or platforms or components that you're monitoring using the Tivoli monitoring suite. So that could be each DB2 subsystem, for example, is a managed system. Each ZOS LPAR, each Windows box, each MQQ manager, whatever it is, has a managed system name. That is basically how the Tivoli monitoring infrastructure knows what it's monitoring, knows what it's managing, and what it's looking at. Now, because we're looking at two very discrete and different components and systems, Windows and DB2 on ZOS, in order to be able to effectively distribute this policy out, we need to create a customized list that ties these together and then distribute to this thing that I call test list in this example here. So going to the next slide that says policies require an understanding of the monitoring infrastructure. That's one of the key differences when we're talking about policies versus situations. With policies, I think you need to have a better understanding of the monitoring topology, which I hopefully you see just from looking at the example we were discussing before with the Windows and the DB2 and the ZOS versus Windows type of deal. In a typical Tivoli monitoring environment, I'm going to have a hub TEMS, like we see here in the lower left corner, and then I'm going to have remotes. And I'll have remotes that will be running on Z, and I might have remotes as well that are going to be running in my Linux, Unix, Windows type environment as well. So in this example, I show my Windows TEMS, Unix TEMS, Linux TEMS going to a remote TEMS, and that remote in turn going to a hub. Now, it doesn't have to work that way. You could take those Windows agents and take them straight to the TEMS hub running on Z. I show a TEMS hub running on Z. That TEMS hub could be running on a Windows box. So this is simply just an example. This is not like it has to be this way. This is simply an example. What I'm trying to demonstrate, though, is that when we're talking about policies, you probably need to have a slightly better understanding of the topology, how things fit together, in particular because, as I said before, policies run in the TEMS infrastructure. They don't run at the level of the agent. So if I'm going to be distributing policies, I want to understand clearly where is that being distributed to. Also, if I'm going to be doing some examples of this basic correlation that I showed before, well, I need to understand, well, what's talking to what and what's connected to what and what's going to talk and how is it going to work, et cetera, from there. So I need to understand that. Another aspect of it, then, is in turn is if they're going to issue commands. And let's say, for example, I want to issue a command at the level of the TEMS. Well, I need to know, well, where is that TEMS at? What is it running on? There's no point trying to issue ZOS console commands if the remote TEMS in question that I've distributed to or started the policy on is running on a Windows box. That's simply not going to give you the result that you're going to desire. So let's look through some common scenarios for policies, and we'll come up with some recommendations and suggestions, and then we can get to our Q&A and things like that. The next slide, common scenario, use policies to forward alerts. This is probably one of the most common usages of policies that we see in most shops is the deal where we have a situation, like in this case our DB2 demo alert again. We have a situation that's fired, and now we want to forward that situation information in the form of an SNMP event to some other place, any kind of an SNMP manager. So in this case, we can pass certain attributes. You can specify the attributes that you want to have passed as part of the SNMP event, and then what happens then is that you go ahead, you start the policy, and then when the situation is true, it actually goes ahead and kicks out an SNMP trap. Now, where this gets used quite commonly as well in the Tivoli environment is if you have a Tivoli tech deployed and your hub ZOS is running on ZOS, I should say, then you need to use this policy mechanism. If you're running a hub TEMS on something other than ZOS, let's say Windows, for example, then there are other mechanisms to forward alerts to the tech that will not require this type of policy approach. So again, that's part of where understanding the infrastructure, that guides you in terms of the techniques that you adopt. So this whole notion of using policies to forward alerts is a common usage. Another common scenario that we're seeing more and more is this notion of an overseer. So I've gone to the next slide that says another common usage, use policies as an overseer to manage the monitoring infrastructure. I've already talked about this already in terms of eliminating noise, reducing the cost of monitoring, etc. One thing that you typically see in most real-world production scenarios is that certain situation alerts have sensitivity to things like time of day, day of week, processing cycle, planned outage scenarios, operational procedures, regions being down for maintenance, you know, whatever. You pick whatever from the list is. There's always going to be operational scenarios that need to be taken into account, time of day scenarios. There's certain things that you'll monitor because of just variations in the workload. So maybe you have a much higher level of interactive workload during daytime prime time, but in the evening it's batch. So therefore, you might use a different set of alerts for one type of workload versus another. So there's no point running a lot of alerts that are not of any use if you're having these kind of variations. So this notion of an overseer policy is a way to manage the monitoring activity and the monitoring infrastructure, because you can build policies to stop and start situations. And you can build these policies very simply, you know, and just based off of logic like time of day, day of week, whatever, and then in turn issue the start and stop commands for the situations and or other policies based off of that. So what the overseer then in turn provides is a very simple way to optimize the monitoring of the situations and policies to truly run them on an as-needed basis. So let's go to our next slide that says, example, using policies to manage time-of-day sensitive situations. Time-of-day sensitivity is a big one because inherently there's going to be things you care about more during prime time than you do during the evening. So the advantage then of using an overseer to manage the time-of-day sensitivity is that it means that your underlying situations that you use to drive the alerting can be much more simplified. You don't have to clutter your base situations with all sorts of local time predicates and things like that. What that in turn then does is, because you've simplified the underlying situations, you therefore have more room in those situations to add additional logic to make those underlying situations more robust. It also means that because you can use more Boolean logic in the underlying situations, you may not have to use as many situations. The maintenance of situations themselves is greatly eased, and in general, this is an approach that can reduce overhead. So let's go to the next slide that says, using a policy to manage situations based upon time of day requirements. So here what we're looking at is an example of an overseer policy on the left, the start situation. So basically we're saying wait until a certain time of day or day a week, and then we're going to start our situations. And then on the right-hand side, similar logic. So we have the thing that says wait until it's true, and then there's our friend the wait until false. So in other words, when it's no longer that time of day, then we'll go ahead and we'll stop the situations. So this is one way you could accomplish that type of an overseer mechanism based on simple time of day logic, use policies to stop and start situations, and then whatever criteria logic you want to put into that initial driver situation, that's what you use to drive the rest of the logic. So let's go to the next slide. Policies, what are they? What are they not? Well, policies, what they are. Policies, as I've said before, extend the base concepts of what situations are and add some additional flexibility. It's a thing that's integrated into the TEP. So if you have the enablements, if you have the DE option enabled, it's right there. It's part of the TEP. It's not like a separate thing you have to go and get into. It's integrated directly within the Tivoli Portal GUI interface. Gives you some additional flexibility, and it's a mechanism that you can use for what I call basic alert correlation. Again, understanding the limitations I mentioned before. What policies are not? Policies are not a substitution for a full-blown automation engine. So in other words, I can do a lot of commands and corrections and things like that using situations and policies, but it is not a substitution for SAZOS or AF Operator or whatever your console automation solution is. It's a good way, these are good mechanisms to feed SAZ, for example, and make that a more robust solution, but it is not a replacement for that kind of technology. It's merely an extension wherein it provides me a very elegant mechanism to integrate performance monitoring with automation. Policies can be used for alert generation, and they can be used for what I again call basic alert correlation. But the policy mechanism is not what I would term a correlation engine per se. What that means then is I can do correlation with policies, but if I'm in a very large environment with thousands of systems and thousands of alerts and thousands of things going on for this high volume, very complex event correlation requirements, I probably am going to want some other kind of an event correlation engine, and that's where you want to look at other Tivoli solutions. Start looking at TBSM or things that are more geared towards the notion of doing this high-volume event correlation processing. So let's look at policies versus situations. Let's come up with some recommendations. Starting out, use situations as your primary alert command mechanism wherever possible. In general, wherever possible, if you can get the job done with a situation, that's going to be more efficient than using a policy. Situations run closer to what's being monitored. So a well-crafted situation will typically be the more effective way to go if you can get it done. So because policies must be run within the TEMS infrastructure, therefore you have some advantages from a situation standpoint, because situations can exploit this thing called the intelligent remote architecture. So in other words, I can set up a situation with a reflex action, send that situation out to the agent, and if the rest of the infrastructure goes away, as long as the agent's there, the agent will continue to do its action. If I deploy a policy to the TEMS infrastructure, therefore I need to have more infrastructure in place to depend on the actions to happen. In general, situations will be easier to deploy because I probably don't need to know as much about the infrastructure. So, situations have a variety of advantages. It's going to run closer to the monitor system. It's going to require that I know probably less about the infrastructure, and I'm not going to have any concerns about overhead in the TEMS infrastructure itself. Where do I want to use a policy versus a situation? Well, I want to use a policy where multiple commands are required. I want to use a policy where I have alerts that I need to get to tech or to SNMP, and a policy is the only mechanism I have to get that done. I may want to use policies in those scenarios where I want to make my situations more efficient. So in other words, use policies to manage the infrastructure, to monitor the infrastructure itself, to monitor the monitor, if you will. So going to the next slide that says policies, recommendations, and best practices. So policies provide a powerful command and control facility integrated in the TEP. Where is it most appropriate to use policies? Well, first of all, use policies when the job cannot be accomplished by situations alone. So for example, a situation requires multiple commands be issued. So let's take the example again of the DB2 scenario where I detected an issue in DB2, I issued some kind of a set sysparm command to make a change on the fly to DB2, and then I want to issue another command that notifies someone that has in fact occurred. Multiple commands therefore drives me towards a policy as opposed to just a situation. Using the policies to optimize the monitoring and alerting. Activating situations, we've talked about that quite a bit. And just keep your methodology as simple as possible. The keep it simple methodology. You basically want to be careful when you're deploying large multi-situation policies across large numbers of managed systems. One thing you definitely want to do is you want to test this out to make sure you get the desired outcome. Test this out carefully because again, you want to have a clear understanding of the agent TEMS topology. And if commands are being issued, where are those commands going to end up, and what's running where, and what's hooked up to what, and what TEMs are running on what platforms, and what agents are running where, and things like that. These are the little subtleties that make policy that require that you have a little more thought and planning when you do policies versus situations. So going to the next slide that says policies, recommendations, best practices. Okay, so there are many excellent uses for policies. Many different scenarios where, you know, policies can be quite useful. So one of these, the scenario where the situation requires multiple commands, we've talked about that quite a bit already. Scenarios where you need monitoring information from multiple situations to be fed to automation. This is part of the multi-command thing. So maybe, for example, I want to snag some info from a DB2 monitor, a KIX monitor, an MQ monitor, grab information from each of those situations and then pass those in the form of alert commands into, say, SA for ZOS or something like that. Maybe a policy could be useful in that thing. Passing alert information to the other alert technologies, your tech, your SNMP, we've talked about that quite a bit. And then we've also talked about using policies to optimize situation and monitoring usage. Here's another example that we probably didn't talk about. We've talked about time of day quite a bit. Here's another one. Having a policy to start certain higher cost situations only as needed. Certain situations might be higher cost to run than others. I'll give you an example of DASD alerts, for example. You could have thousands of DASD volumes on a ZOS environment. I don't necessarily want to run DASD alert situations on an ongoing basis if I have thousands and thousands and thousands of UCBs out there. But maybe in a certain case, if I detect a certain issue, I might want to enable that situation for a period of time. So in other words, I detect a possible problem, have a policy that then in turn kicks off a situation to run additional checks. That's something that can be flexible. We've talked about the time of day quite a bit. And, you know, if used optimally, you can achieve that last bullet item of actually saving your ongoing cost of alerting and monitoring. So even though running the policy itself might have some additional cost because the policy has to run in TEMS, if using the policy is a good way to optimize situations and other policies, you might actually be able to come up with a net savings. So the last slide, summary, thank you. Policies are an important component of the Tivoli portal. It expands that integrated automation capability. Use the policies to expand that. And again, my general recommendation, do as much as you can with situations, understand situations, take advantage of policies, you know, where they can help you out. I also want to thank several of my IBM colleagues for helping me put information together in here. Richard Roy, Ken Strobel, Bay Van Horn, Joe Means, Barry Lampkin, Don Zunert, Mike Stevens, Lee Wang, all of you folks helped me out quite a bit pulling this together. And at this point, I want to thank you for your time, your attention, and I'll turn it back over for questions and to the moderators. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. Now we'd like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a live Q&A session with the presenter. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key, followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. For our first question, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's conference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3. For our second question, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference at the right level, press star 1. Not technical enough, press star 2. And if it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Question number 3. Have you used the IBM Tivoli Omegamon DE on ZOS to automate alert notification and workflow? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And for our final question today, we hope you've enjoyed the teleconference. Please let us know if you're interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And thank you all for your responses. At this time, we would like to take your questions. If you do have a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone at this time. Again, that is star 1 for questions. We'll pause for just a moment. And we'll go first to Stan Muse.
Yes, this is Stan Muse. Is there a class that customers can go to learn how to implement TEP and set up the alerts and policies?
Yeah, I believe there are some ITM 6.1 type classes that will go through TEP basics and situations and policies and things like that. more geared, I believe, towards just general TEP usage as opposed to necessarily, the ZOS. Now, I'm a ZOS person by background, so a lot of the examples I use were more geared towards ZOS. But the basics of the usage of the TEP are pretty much, common across the board. That's one of the beauties of it. Another thing I'll suggest as well is inside the TEP itself, there is a very good help facility that includes a walkthrough and a tutorial, and I recommend that. Also, there are some red books that are available, so if you go to redbooks.com and check it out, there's one or two pretty good red books that should give you some information on this as well.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And once again, that is star one for any further questions at this time. And Mr. Woods, there appear to be no further questions at this time. I'll turn the conference back to you for any closing remarks.
Okay, well, I guess I did such a great job. Everyone is just totally up to speed now with policies and ready to go out and give it a try. Well, I just want to thank everyone for your time and your attention today. And we're going to continue to do more of these types of webcasts throughout the year, going through various Megamons, Tivoli Enterprise Portal, monitoring in general. And I appreciate your time, your attention, your questions, and we'll talk to you again in the future. Thank you very much.
That concludes today's IBM teleconference. Have a pleasant day.